Let me invite you to open your Bibles to the book of James. The book of James. Let's turn to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. And we want to begin our study this morning by simply reading this section that we will be studying, beginning at verse number 14, and we will read down through verse number 26. And then we'll come back and develop these thoughts from these verses. We'll be spending some time this morning in James 2, 14 through 26. And Lord willing, next week we will finish up this lesson that has to do with faith and works. Lord willing, again next week. But let's begin this morning by simply just reading this text, and then we'll come back and we will talk about these verses. Beginning at James chapter 2, verse number 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding, you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. See then that how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Now, as you think about what James is saying here in James chapter 2, 14 through 26, I want to simply paraphrase what James is saying. Faith plus nothing equals nothing. And the kind of faith that equals nothing is a dead faith. Again, a faith that equals nothing is a dead faith. You know, as you look at this short section of Scripture, three times James will make this point. Faith without works is dead. He's going to make that point in verse number 17, in verse number 20, and verse number 26. And so what we can see from this reading is that true faith will always be seen in works. A dead faith will not be seen at all. In other words, there is a kind of faith that will save, a kind of faith that will justify an individual. We'll read about Abraham, Lord willing, next week. And then there's a kind of faith that won't save, that will not justify an individual. As you and I are thinking about these thoughts, we should be asking ourselves, well, what kind of faith do I have? Do I have the kind of faith that can be seen, the kind of faith that will save, that will justify me? Or do I have the kind of faith that is described as being dead? I guess really we're the only one that can answer that question. And so I hope we have that question in the back of our minds, because that's exactly what James is dealing with. And obviously, James was dealing with a problem here. When you look at the background to this book, we see that this book was written to Jewish people. People who were confused about trials, temptation, and they were confused about faith and works. And so James is writing to offset what these faith-only proponents were preaching at this time. Obviously, there were others that were teaching other things about faith and works. And you know, Paul is going to deal with the same subject in the book of Romans. But Paul, again, is dealing with a different thing. James, again, is talking about faith and works. And so when you think about the doctrine of faith only, this didn't develop during the Protestant Reformation. It developed right here in the first century. And some of our own brethren were struggling with it. And some of our own brethren, and even the religious world for sure, struggles with understanding this concept of faith and works. And so what James is doing here in James 2, 14 through 26 is setting forth a contrast between a dead faith and a living faith, a faith that will save an individual. He's also teaching us how to avoid a dead faith by giving us three characteristics of a dead faith. And we'll be talking about those three characteristics of a dead faith. But then, as you'll notice, beginning around verse number 21, going down through verse number 26, he gives us three illustrations of a living faith. And so you see this contrast between a dead faith and a living faith. Three characteristics of a dead faith. We'll be talking about that again this morning. And then three characteristics or three illustrations of a living faith. We'll talk about that, Lord willing, next Sunday. And so as we think about three characteristics of a dead faith, we can see, first of all, that a dead faith is identified by an empty confession. A dead faith is characterized, number one, by an empty confession. Look very closely at what James says in verse number 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Now notice the question. Can faith save him? Can that kind of faith save an individual? The answer is obvious. No. A dead faith cannot save a person. Just because you profess that you believe in Jesus doesn't mean that you possess, that you have a saving faith. Let me give you a couple examples of what I'm talking about in a very practical way, scripturally speaking. In John chapter 12, verse number 42, there were certain Jews that believed in Jesus, but because of the Pharisees, you remember this context? They were unwilling to confess Him. They were unwilling to demonstrate that active faith because of the Pharisees. And so again, just because you profess to believe in Jesus doesn't mean that you possess a saving faith. Let me give you another example, and I think this one's probably more familiar because you hear this verse quoted all the time. Matthew 7, verse number 21. Not everybody that's talking about heaven is going there. Jesus said, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, there it is, that profess His name. Not everyone that professes me is going to heaven. You continued to develop Matthew 7:21, and you began reading that context. And Jesus talks about two builders. One that builds his life upon the sand, the other that builds his life upon the rock. Which ones are going to heaven from the context? Not the sayers, you remember that? But the doers. Those who do the will of God. Read Matthew 7:21 through 23 very carefully. And so just believing in Jesus is not enough. There has to be more than just a cognitive acknowledgement or knowledge that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, if you have your Bibles, you may want to mark James chapter 2. And I want to show you a context. And I love how this is developed from the book of John. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, and you're going to see that there must be more than just a cognitive acknowledgement that Jesus is the Son of God. And I'm going to establish that from John chapters 1 through 3. Now, we're not going to read all of those chapters. I'm going to highlight just a couple of verses, and you'll see the flow of the context. And I would encourage you to really look at this context beginning here at John chapter 1, going all the way through John chapter 3, because you know as well as I do, one of the most abused chapters in the Bible is John chapter 3, one of the most abused verses, John 3 verse number 16. But if you'll take what I'm showing you, you'll see how this can develop, and it fits right along with what James is talking about in James 2, 14 through verse 26. Let's begin at John 1 verse number 12. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become, listen to that, the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. From John 1 verse 12, those who believe on Jesus, listen to it, have the ability, they have the power to become the children of God. Now if you would, turn over to John chapter 2. John chapter 2, verse number 23. Now when He was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, listen to it, many believed in His name when they saw the miracles which He did. Now again, John 1, verse 12. Those who believe have the power to become the sons of God. John 2, verse number 23. There were those who saw the miracles and they believed in Jesus. But we see that belief alone, faith alone, is not enough. How do we know that? All we have to do is continue to read the book of John, and we come to John chapter 3, and Jesus is going to point out to Nicodemus, except a man be born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Now we know what John is, or we know what that means. We know what Jesus means when He says, except a man be born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. A person has to be taught the gospel, and one has to be baptized into Jesus Christ, thus being born again to be able to be delivered from sin. A person must demonstrate an active faith, a faith that works, a faith that obeys Jesus. Now what you're seeing from this study is this: not all works are divorced from faith. Let that sink down deep into your ears. Not all works are divorced from faith. There are some kind or type of works that God joins with faith. Acts 10 verse number 35. The Apostle Peter says, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but he that feareth Him, now listen to it, and worketh righteousness is welcomed by God. You see what Peter is saying? There are a type, a kind of works that God welcomes that must not be divorced from faith, works of righteousness. We may be able to say it like this when it comes to the word works. The word works is used in a positive sense. It's also used in a negative sense. It's used in a positive sense to describe the type of works that God welcomes, works of righteousness. But then it's used in a negative sense to speak about those kind or those type of works that won't justify an individual. You'll see that in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, where the Apostle Paul says, "For by grace you are saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works." But again, Paul is not talking about all works. He's talking about a certain kind of works. Really, when you go back and study the book of Ephesians, he's talking about the works of the old law. The works of the old law could not justify an individual. And so we have to understand that there is a certain kind of works. The works that James is talking about has to do with works of obedience. And so we see, number one, from verse 14, that a dead faith is characterized by an empty confession. Just because you say you believe doesn't mean that you have a saving faith. We must have a faith that works. That brings us to the second point. Number two, a dead faith is also characterized by empty compassion, or by a false compassion. Look carefully, if you would, go back to James chapter 2. And I want to read this again, verses 15 down through verse number 17. Again, a dead faith is characterized, number 2, by false compassion. And notice how this is developed, beginning at verse 15. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, "Depart in peace, be you warm and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit?" Verse 17, "Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." The point that we see from verse 15 through 17 is this, that our faith must be put into practice. If we have a saving faith, that faith is going to be active. That faith is going to do something. We're going to have a faith that works by love. Galatians 5, verse number 6. When I talk to people about this subject of faith and works, certainly James 2, 14 through 26 is a great section for people to contemplate. But again, Galatians 5, verse number 6, a faith that works. You can't say, again, that there isn't a kind of works that God welcomes. We see plainly in Galatians 5, verse 6, Paul says we're to have a faith that works by love. We're to have an active faith. But now let me give you a practical example like we see here in James chapter 2. Turn over to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Listen to what the Apostle John says in 1 John 3. And let's begin at verse 17. We'll read verse 17 and verse 18 together. "But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and it shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him, my little children? Let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Same point. The point that James is making, the Apostle John is making. But here in 1 John, the Apostle John is talking about love. And if you see somebody that is in need, but you don't go out of your way to help them. Like Luke 10, the parable of the Good Samaritan. You remember the priest, the Levite? They saw a man that was beaten, robbed, left on the side of the road to die. And they just walked right on by. They saw him and they walked right on by. Now when you look at 1 John 1, chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. If that describes you, if you're the priest and the Levite, how can you say the love of God dwells in you? Because if the love of God really dwells in you, verse number 18, it's going to be seen in action. And so what John says about love, James says about faith. We are to have a faith. That is, if we have a biblical faith, if we have a saving faith, that faith is going to be put into action. We see somebody that is in need, we're going to act. We're going to do something about it. Really, as you stop and think about James 2, 15 through 17, as James talks about faith and works, living faith is manifested by good works. Remember, not all works are divorced from faith. Living faith is manifested in good works. We talked about good works a couple of weeks ago from the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse number 10. We're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. By the way, I would really study out Ephesians chapter 2 because Paul really lays it out. He talks about works in the negative, as I mentioned already. He also talks about works in the positive, because in the same context, after Paul says that we're not saved by works, he turns around in Ephesians 2, verse 10, and says, we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Again, living faith is manifested by good works. Good works are good works by definition. And number two, by location. We have to be in Jesus Christ. And then we turn over to Titus chapter 2, verse number 14. We're to be zealous of good works. Titus 3, verse 1. We're to be ready unto every good work. Titus 3, verse 8, verse number 14. We are to maintain good works if we have a saving faith, a living faith. That faith, again, is going to be manifested in good works. You see, faith with no fruit is marked by, number one, as we pointed out, an empty confession, and number two, by a false compassion. Jesus said in John 15, verse number 8, here is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. You see, if we're going to bear fruit, we can see just from that verse that we're going to have an active faith. We're going to have a faith that goes to work. Remember, faith plus nothing equals nothing. And the kind of faith that equals nothing is a dead faith. We don't want to have a dead faith. We want to have a living faith. And in order to have a living faith, we must have a faith that goes to work, a faith that obeys God. And then number three, and this is the final point to our lesson this morning, as James describes or characterizes a dead faith. Number three, a dead faith is characterized by a shallow conviction. It's characterized by a shallow conviction. Look, if you would, at verses 18 through 20. Go back to James chapter 2. And again, look at verse number 18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Now, I believe James is being very logical here. We cannot see someone's faith without their works. But we can see a person's work, which demonstrates the reality of a genuine faith. And again, that's the kind of faith that we need to have. And so what we see from verse number 18, a real faith, a biblical faith, a saving faith will demonstrate itself. It will demonstrate itself in works. It's going to be active. But a dead faith is lacking. A dead faith is shallow. A dead faith is dead. A dead faith is unprofitable. Now watch what James does in verse number 19 as he gives a warning to those who profess faith only. Look at verse number 19. Thou believest that there is one God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Notice that again. Faith that does not express itself in works is not only shallow, is not only dead, is not only unprofitable. Those who say they have faith but they don't demonstrate it are no better than the devil. They're one step behind the devils because they also believe and tremble, but they're not saved. They don't demonstrate saving faith. And so as you look at this last section, we see as you continue to read verse number 20, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. Our works can say a lot. They can tell us a lot about our faith. We are to have a faith that works by love. Notice that, a faith that works by love. A story is told of a boatman that was illustrating the importance of faith and works. And so what he did was he got two oars. He took one oar and he painted the word faith on it. He took the other oar and he painted the word works. And to demonstrate the point that he was making, he took the first oar that had faith and he put it in the water and he started to row the boat. The boat went around in a circle. He came back to the dock and he set that oar down and he picked up the other oar that had the word works painted on it. He started the oar and the boat went in the opposite direction. And once he came back around to the dock, he then made application of his illustration. He says, listen, if we're going to make a straight line across the lake, you have to put both oars in the water and you have to work simultaneously rowing the boat, illustrating again the importance of faith and works. What kind of faith do you have this morning? Do you have a faith that works by love? If we're going to have a saving faith, we must act upon what we see in God's Word. And we will demonstrate our biblical faith, again, by our obedience. We'll hear the Word of God. We'll repent of our sins. We will make the good confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And listen, we'll go down into the water to be baptized. And baptism isn't meriting your salvation. Baptism is a work of righteousness because God is the one that commands it. If God commands it, we're not in any way meriting our salvation when we comply with what He says. We're simply demonstrating biblical faith, saving faith, a faith that will justify an individual. And so again this morning, do you have that kind of faith? Do you have a saving faith? Have you obeyed the gospel? If you obey the gospel, are you living faithfully to God? Remember, a dead faith will not bring forth fruit unto God. Each one of us should be able to look at our lives and we should be able to see the fruit that we're bringing before God because of our active faith that wants to please God. This morning, if we can help you in any way, spiritually speaking, we ask that you come forward right now as we stand and as we sing.